The Yucca Podcast, number 47, interview with Deke Sharon and the House Jacks.
That's what I'm doing. I'm releasing the acapella virus into a crowded movie theater. I think that's my world domination.
Coming soon plot. To a small town near
there
you.
There we go, there we go, yeah.
Ich freue mich, dass Sie auf Ihrer Europa-Tournee bei uns vorbeigekommen sind und genauso angetan wie wir von den House Jacks aus San Francisco.
Never this high, and I pick myself up above the floor. She give me love, begging for more, 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 more. Sitting on the edge of insecurity, and chemistry is getting mighty close, and it hits my curiosity. Bam, I want another in. Bam, you get another VN. Bam, she's a violin. She's irresistible.
She's a window. Spray.
She can keep the veil, can't help but hang around my arms, feel the blues, she's into me, I'm up in you, 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 oh.
Running through the walls of sensuality, fatality is hanging on my arm and it rips through my reality, bam, I want another hit, bam, can't get another vein, bam, bam, she's a violin, she's irresistible.
Standing like a boxer, toe to toe with you, baby. Damn, love is all. Bam. Step to me, step to me. I can't get any deeper. I'm reaching out, bam, pulling on your hand, bam, close to me. Bam, 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 bam. Light me up like a Christmas tree.
And when I get that feeling, I want bam, I want another hit, bam, get another big hit, bam, she's a violin, she's irresistible, bam, I want another hit, bam, get another big hit, bam, she's a violin, she's irresistible.
Hey, Yucca Podcast listeners, it's your host, Chad Bergeron, bringing you the best of the a cappella world, and I have a really special treat for you this time. Earlier this month, I had the pleasure of seeing the House Jacks perform live in the area, and I got to interview them afterwards. For my listeners who may not know who the House Jacks are, they're one of the forerunners of the contemporary a cappella movement. Their founder, Deke Sharon, started the group back in 1991, and that was after he'd spent some years over in Tufts, where he kind of reinvented contemporary a cappella music a little bit. He also started CASA, started the ICCAs, really was instrumental in bringing the East Coast and West Coast a cappella summits to life. And his recent project is the Contemporary Acapella League. Yeah, Deke is definitely a luminary in the acapella world, and it was a thrill to be able to interview him and the rest of the guys. The concert itself was pretty awesome, and it was put on by a group called the Center for Arts in Natick, and it took place in a converted 19th century firehouse that gutted out the brick building and they'd closed up the bays and made this really fantastic concert space out of it. And I don't think there's any bad place to sit in that particular venue. You're really that close and the acoustics are that good. So if you're local to the area, I recommend checking them out, and I'll have links to their website in the show notes. But it's a good place to go and catch a cappella concerts in the area. The House Jacks did two full sets and encore, and that first track actually was the closer to their first set. That track is called Bam. And that one you'll find on their 2006 release, Get Down, Mr. President. You'll also find an older version on Drive, their first all-live cut release. Now, here's the bad news about some of the interview material. I didn't have the chance to sit down with them in a particularly quiet space. I was able to interview them while the crowd was milling around afterwards and exiting, and in the concert hall where there was some music in the background and whatnot. So, although I did get to speak to most of the guys, the material I have isn't all very good. And the best material I have is when I got to sit down with Deke for a little while and talk with him. So that's what you're pretty much going to hear here in the interview. I did talk to all the members, and I gave them all hats. So if you see them live, see if they're wearing one of those, huh? And of course, you can get one of those hats yourself if you'd like from the Aka Podcast swag store. You can find the link on the main page at akapodcast.com. Okay, let's get back into some more music here. This next track is called Believe, and this was the second track, this was the second song in their first set, and this was sung by Rupak Ahuja, who is no stranger to the area. He, of course, sang with Hyannis Sound for a couple of years there, and sang briefly with 5 o'clock Shadow, and of course he sang with Duende in New York for a little while. So he's no stranger to the New England area here. And so this is Rue singing Believe.
So I've just been told that you guys are working on a new album already.
Yes, and we started working on it with West. So, but we've just got like the beginnings of a couple tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're at the very early stages.
Great, great. Well, I'm looking forward to it, of course. So Jake's hot stuff.
Oh, he's fantastic.
What's his background?
Well, he started out at Edmonton Community College doing vocal jazz stuff, and then he moved into Kickshaw.
He gigged with him for a while. Yeah. Then he joined Impact.
Oh, okay. That's
and gigged with him for like 7 years. Yeah. Took a little time off. But I have to say, when the House Jacks saw, I mean, he knows this. There's no secrets.
Sure.
When the House Jacks did a gig with Impact, however many years ago, we saw them all and we're like, oh, you know, I mean, we love him. Good friends with Impact. Yeah. We saw Jake and we're like, he's a House Jack.
Yeah.
Like, they're a jazz
Impact
pop
has a very different style, yeah.
And he's this crazy rock and roll, like, I call him Keith Moon. Like, he's this, he has this whole different energy about him. And I was always like that guy. And then when Wes was like, you know, the road too much, it's killing me. We're like, all right. And I made some phone calls and whatever, and Jake came to mind, and just it clicked, it worked. He came, and he wasn't sure he wanted to do more, but then he sang with us for half an hour, and he's like, okay, this feels really good.
Good.
And it's working. It's perfect.
It's working.
The chemistry, you know.
It is working. It is, yeah. He's definitely a House Jack, as you said. Yeah.
Talking there a little bit about Jake Moulton, who is the House Jack's new vocal percussionist. This was his third live performance with the group, and he did a phenomenal job. He did just a fantastic job. He definitely has the chops there. He was doing a little VP solo work. He did a little blues number that he sang on his own with backup from the rest of the group. As mentioned in the interview there, Jake does have a career already in a cappella. He started off there with Hook Slide and moved on to Impact, and now he's with the House Jacks. And there are two groups out there that have, in my mind, always consistently managed to get excellent vocal percussionists, one of them being the House Jacks, and the other being 5 o'clock Shadow over here on the East Coast end. And I wish them lots of good luck, and I know Jake is going to do great things with the House Jacks there. And for those who remember Wes, well, you know, we miss Wes as a member of the House Jacks, but he's got his own irons in the fire, too. So you can check out his website at wescarroll.com and see what he's up to.
Yeah,
how about you? How's it been going all these years? What, 1991?
1991. Are you typing this stuff? Or is this...
I am, but I can edit it out if you really
No. I wanted to make sure you were getting whatever you needed. Yeah, 91, boy, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed straight out of college, and this is what I always wanted to do, so I feel supremely fortunate that technology, culture, music, people's interests, everything converged to make this possible in my life and to bring a cappella back to being a small and yet still significant part of American musical culture.
Yeah.
And the ways in which it was at the turn of the century with barbershop quartets and in the 50s with doo-wop groups. And mm-hmm. I mean, there have been different times that vocal music and a cappella have really kind of bubbled up. And this is really exciting. Willman, tell me I can say it's almost something I don't need. Fill my head.
Tell me and I'll do it for you. You are the only one I want.
was looking at the crowd tonight, and I saw a huge cross spectrum of people. All the way, there were grade schoolers and high schoolers here, all the way up to people who may have only come in because they're members here, but they all had smiles and they all had a great time. I can tell everybody really enjoyed the show.
To be honest, that's not just us. That's a cappella.
Yeah.
There's something about the human voice that's disarming and very personal. So people aren't hiding behind instruments. And the fact that the human voice is able to jump between so many different styles of music so easily, so fluently, it opens it up and kind of softens the sound so that you have people in the audience who might not go hear a U2 concert or an Ozzy Osbourne concert or... modern dance rock or whatever, and yet if you throw those kind of tunes into your set as an a cappella group, they go, oh, I like that song, never heard it, what was it?
Yeah.
So the human voice is just in some ways more appealing and more inviting to just that broad cross spectrum that you're talking about. So that's exciting for us because we like seeing all kinds of faces.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of my favorite shows ever is when we did a gig in Eastern Europe. Small town, they don't have any money, and the majority of the town came out for the show. It was in their like community center, which was the chapel. There were babies there, there were grandmothers, most of them didn't speak a word of English, but you would have thought we were the Beatles. I mean, they were going crazy in the balconies and everything, so much energy, so much excitement, and it felt really good. It felt very pure, because there's a lot of artifice. I mean, when we go and play in Manhattan or something, you definitely get that sense that, like, okay, this is a music center, Los Angeles, that they've seen it all, impress me. But to go to a place where music can be such a pure form of communication and they don't understand your native language, there's something warm and pure about that. So
universal language.
Universal language.
Love is all you need.
Sorry, Deke, I couldn't help but pull that one out. I mean, you mentioned the Beatles. That is the House Jack singing All You Need Is Love, and I pulled that off of the 2001 CD, an acapella tribute to the Beatles. And I just want to interject for a moment and say that, yeah, it sounds like Deke's answers are kind of polished or prepared, but they're really not. He's just very good at interviewing. When I talked to the rest of the guys, it was much more conversational in nature. I talked with Antonio, who is their bass, and spoke to him about his previous experience with UCSB, Naked Voices, and with Claremont Shades, both pretty well-known groups in their own right, and talked to him about the SoCal Vocals winning the recent ICCAs and things along those lines. But like I said, unfortunately, the audio really wasn't that good, so I wasn't able to use those parts. But as one of the, if not the only member to graduate from a West Coast school, he and I talked about the spread of a cappella to the West Coast and how the West Coast groups are really coming into their own. But definitely one of the things I got from him, and actually from all of the members, was that they all feel honored to sing with each other, that each of them loves standing up on stage and singing with four other really talented guys. And I think that's part of what makes the House Jacks work, is that they're all just thrilled to be singing with each other. And they were all having a great time, and they all loved the space, and it worked out very well for them that night. It was a really, really good show. All right, well, there's more interview to go, so let's get back into that, shall we?
One of the highlights of touring is absolutely meeting new people, going to new places. I learn when I'm on the road. I learn about food, I learn about culture, I learn about geography, and so it's fun for me in that sense. And it's fun to perform, and every night is a different group, and every night's a different challenge, and different excitement, and different opportunities. Sometimes the sound system's amazing, sometimes it's challenging. And when we take requests, we never know what we're going to get from the audience. I mean, it's almost like vocal improvisation and all my jazz training coupled with being almost like someone working in a piano bar and people yelling out songs. Add to that an element of improv comedy and all that. It's just this just whirlwind of immediacy and excitement. So, yeah.
So, you mentioned improv, and that brings up your jukebox trick. How did you get into doing that?
Well, we were in a coastal town in northern Germany, where in most of Germany, frankly, they speak excellent English, better than Americans. And one of the guys, this was almost a decade ago, Garth stepped forward and said, "Our next song is going to be," and someone in the audience yelled, "Great Balls of Fire!" And we said, "No, actually, we don't do that," but we kind of looked at each other. And Garth used to be a wedding band singer, so he kind of knows everything. So we just started singing, "You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain," just as a joke, because we were always very kind of free and extemporaneous in between songs. We don't have any set, you know, banter or anything. And he did a little bit of that, and then someone yelled out another tune, and we did it, and then someone in the audience, you know, and then Garth would say, "I'm sorry, so our next song will be," and then someone yelled a different tune, and then they yelled, "I Feel Good." And we just launched into it, and we did the whole song, and it was pretty amazingly perfect. And we all looked at each other when we were done with that, and we said, "Hey, we can do this." And at that point, we pretty much stopped putting cover tunes in our repertoire and instead give the audience an opportunity to pick what songs they want to hear. And of course, some of them crash and burn. In fact, it's better when they do, because if we have a show, a set, and every single one of them is good, people after the show don't believe it. Like, you can hear the audience applause diminishing, because they're like, "Oh, this is all set up, so there's something going on I don't get." So you really want to crash and burn on one of them. And then that's very freeing, and you realize, hey, anything goes.
I think it's also, I think it's really cool to bring that piece of audience participation in.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
it breaks down the walls between stage and crowd.
Yeah, the show's not about us, it's for the audience and of the audience. They get to sing along, they get to alternate, yeah.
I noticed somebody in the audience brought up Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they even knew.
That's right. Yeah. The new book that's coming out, Pitch Perfect, is going to, I think, educate a lot of people in the public as to the deep education that so many modern artists and performers have received through their 2 to 4 years of contemporary a cappella singing in college. Yeah.
Summertime and
Time, the idea is to have it showcase something we do and also be a very different take on the song. So that kind of like cool 11:30 p.m. hip-hop jazz flavored take on the song is different and something people haven't heard anywhere else, and that's important to us. We don't do anybody else's music their way, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, that's one of my big banners that I carry in a cappella is if we want to be taken seriously as an art form, we have to present people with something new. If everybody's just singing the same Lion Sleeps Tonight or all college groups are doing Fix You, although, you know, it's fun for them on their own campuses, if that becomes the entirety of what a cappella is, cover tunes at festivals or whatever, then of course we won't be taken seriously. So more and more great groups are out there doing original music. Duende, latest album, fantastic.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And so many others.
Absolutely.
So many others.
So then what is the writing process like for the House Jacks? Do you guys work individually? Do you work in teams? Is it a group effort?
Combination. People write a lot on their own, and then there are times when we get together and say, hey, we needed this kind of song, or we'll have an experience on the road, and we'll be like, dude, that was crazy. Let's write a tune about it.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute combination. And then so someone will write a song, or a group of people will write a song. They'll bring it to the group, play it for everybody. If everybody's like, yeah, that sounds great, then they'll give it over to me to arrange, or I'll sit down and work on it with them. And then I bring that to the group, and then from there we continue to change it and breathe life into it and morph it until it's ready to perform, or until it's kind of ready to perform. Then we put it in front of an audience, and then we keep changing it. Songs change all the time. In fact, with Jake on stage now, we are repurposing and reconsidering and changing songs that we've been doing on stage for a little while, giving them a completely different feel, different groove, different energy.
Don't send it in a letter, I'm not in the mood. You took a long jump across the line without checking your attitude. But honey, don't tell me you're sorry, you're getting denied. I got a limit of a chat and a smile, but I ain't giving you no ride. Now I ain't sure of how this comes across, and I ain't saying that I am the boss, but there's just one way that it's gotta be. You ain't my honey, my baby, my sugar, you know you can't ride with me, cause I ain't giving you no ride. Don't even try it tonight. No ride, ain't no use taking up my time. You can't find it tonight. No ride, you can drive, you can talk. No ride, you can fly, you can walk. No ride, you can laugh, you can cry, you can feed me a line, you can give me the eye, but I ain't giving you a ride. No, now this goes back to the old days when we was just kicking back and singing the blue bones. You never knew the time or place would always. I know it hurts you now, but baby, it's true. I'm not sure how this comes across. I'm not saying that I'm your boss, but there's just one way it's got to be. You ain't my honey, my sugar, my baby, you know you can't ride with me, cause I ain't giving you a ride. So don't even try it tonight. No ride, ain't no use taking up my time, cause you can't fight it. All right, no ride, you can fly, you can walk. No ride, you can drive, you can talk. You can laugh, you can cry, you can feed me a line, you can give me the eye, but I ain't giving you a ride, no.
Austin Keith Willisey there, singing the lead on No Ride. Austin is a longtime house jack and frequent contributor of original material to their albums. And one heck of a funny guy, too. He has a lot of presence and a lot of personality. Well, that's going to be it for the music in this show, but I do have one more interview segment that I'm going to play at the very end. So I'd like to go ahead and extend my thanks to Deke Sharon and the rest of the House Jacks for letting me talk to them after the show and get some of this down on tape, and also for making so much great music, you know? So if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can email me at chad@akapodcast.com, or you can go to the show notes at akapodcast.com and fill out the contact form there or leave a comment there. You'll also find a link to the Cafe Press swag store and to a PayPal donation button if that's your druthers. And of course, I'll be back later with episode 48. In the meantime, go ahead and email me and let me know which tracks you really like out of these past 47 episodes. I've only heard from a few of you so far, and I'd really like to put together a bit of a best of for episode 50, coming out not too long now. So I look forward to hearing from you. And that's going to do it for episode 47. Here's one last bit of interview with Deke Sharon.
So let me just say then one more question before
sure, sure.
I go back and let you go on about.
No, no problem, no problem.
What's your plan for world domination?
Yeah, right. World domination. Well, my first plan is just to, you know, pay my mortgage and make sure my kids continue through school and whatnot. I don't feel as though the whole a cappella growth thing is all that much about me, frankly. It's about everybody. If that doesn't sound too California touchy-feely, I'd like to buy the world of Coke. Yeah. No, it's I'm busy and I'm doing about as much as I can, and that's really good, and I want to help other people make careers at a cappella. I want to, through this formation of the Contemporary A Cappella League, I want to create opportunities for other people to sing after they graduate college and help more people find out about a cappella and have it be a part of their lives. So many people sing when they're in school and then they stop when they graduate. And that's really sad, because I think music makes people happy. It keeps us alive. And it also brings people together. I mean, you find people singing together in a cappella groups who never would have known each other, never would necessarily have been friends. And it builds bonds through and across different strata of society. And we need that now more than ever. So a cappella is good for people. And I just want to help them find a way to have it be a part of their life, to whatever extent they want it to.